We have some very powerful readings today. The first one from Isaiah is a direct command from God to take care of the poor. Share your bread with the hungry. It doesn't say, you know, if you have an extra loaf someplace, give it away. No, share your bread with the hungry. Shelter the oppressed and the homeless. Clothe the naked when you see them. And do not turn your back on your own. That's a good line, huh? Sometimes we're so generous to everybody else, but we're mad at Uncle Joe, so we don't, you know, we can't do that. Then your light shall break forth like the dawn, and your own wound shall be quickly healed. Your vindication shall go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. You don't have to watch your back. The Lord's got your back. That's the kavod, that marvelous presence of God. When we consecrate here, the kavod settles here. We don't often see it, but it's here. The kavod, the glory of God, you see. So if you're doing those things, then you shall call, and I will say, here I am. Now that's a phrase in Hebrew, hineni, behold me. It's what, for instance, in Genesis chapter 20, God says, Abram, and he says, hineni. Here I am, I'm at your service. And here's God saying, you call on me, I'll say hineni. I'm at your service, I'm here, what would you like? See? Now, if you remove from your midst oppression, false accusation, and malicious speech, that would put Congress out of business. If you bestow your bread on the hungry and satisfy the afflicted, then light shall rise for you in the darkness, and the gloom shall become for you like midday. Now, this theme is going to be in the other readings as well. The idea is, you see, and we get to the gospel, so let your light shine before men, that they will see your good works and praise your Father in heaven. So it isn't just enough to do our good works. We have to do them in such a way that they see it comes from God. And they glorify God, not us. Well, we'll get there in a minute. And so, this is the theme of this. You see, since in the gospel, our Lord is going to say, you are the salt of the earth. I made you so. You see. But if salt loses its taste, with what can it be seasoned? You're taking quite a risk with your life in being a Christian. You're either going to pan out, or it's been a waste of time. It's quite a risk. But now that we're launched on it, you know, we're the luckiest people in the world. And so, well, we'll get to the gospel soon enough. In other words, preach the gospel. And do it in a way that people see God. Now, we're blessed. Every once in a while, that sort of happens. You know what I mean? Maybe we have a wedding or a funeral reception over there in the house, and a lot of people are around, and our people are there helping out, and, you know, and not everybody says, oh, I see God in your midst, but they know it. They know it. You see? And the less, you see, it says here, well, in the gospel, so let your light shine before men. So there's a way we can have our light shine before men, and they don't glorify our Father. They say they're very nice people. They're very nice, but that's not the same. In other words, we have to manifest God. And, you know, St. Francis used to say, preach the gospel with your life and use words if you really have to. And so that's the point of this first reading, you see. If you do all these things in this first reading, you know, share your bread, shelter the oppressed and the homeless, clothe the naked, don't turn your back on your own, as then you shall call and the Lord will answer. You shall cry and he will say, Hineni, I'm at your service. God will say that. You see? Now, if you remove from your midst oppression, false accusation, and malicious speech, that's work. How big is the midst? Well, let's start with the home, branch out to the community, and then see what else, how far else we can get with this, you see? And if you bestow your bread on the hungry and satisfy the afflicted. This somehow has not really penetrated our consciousness the way it has in older Christian cultures. In Russia, for instance, many times, you know, there's a big meal going on, and just before it starts, the father of the house says to some of the younger members, take this and give it out to the people you see in the street. They should be served first. They're the guests of honor, even though they're not going to be coming into the house. In other words, there's two ways of trying to fulfill this command. This isn't advice, this is command. One, this is just to try to do everything with a big smile and hope that it takes, you know. And the other is to have the Lord in your heart and mind and do your best. The first way is a theater piece. The second way is preaching the gospel. And we all are responsible for that. And we should be grateful. You know, there are times when we're gathered here and people come and they're consoled, they're built up, they're, because Christ is in our midst. We're not any better today than we were yesterday. But the Lord Christ is in our midst. So we try, but we try with a full heart, not just trying to look good. But it's important that we try and that we do look good. And it happens, which is so beautiful. If the Lord is in our midst, people are consoled. People are helped. Whenever there's a wedding reception or a funeral reception here in the dining room, and I walk around, people tell me lots of things, you know. And you can tell that they're being touched by the presence of Jesus among us. It's very important. Now, the Corinthians, as you know, when they select these texts, they start with the gospel. And so, you see, right now, we're in Matthew. And we're going to hear about that in a minute. So now, what rhymes with that text in Matthew? Well, the one in Isaiah. That's why we just read it. Share your bread with the hungry, shelter the oppressed, clothe the naked, and don't turn your back on your own. Then your light shall break forth like the dawn, and the wound shall quickly be healed. You see, everybody will be consoled. Everybody will be encouraged. And that's so important. Preach the gospel with your life. And so then, the second reading, which has a rhythm of its own, and it goes, but it's interesting today, it goes, often fits, or you can see a connection anyway. When I came among you, my brothers and sisters, proclaiming the mystery of God, I did not come with sublimity of words or of wisdom. I wasn't going to try you one over with my jokes or my charm or quote Shakespeare. No. I'm not going to decorate this, you see, with my energy, my flesh. I'm not going to do that. I didn't come with sublimity of words or of wisdom, for I resolved to know nothing when I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's the message. He said, glory be to God, and you'll scare them all away. No, you won't. Because God will see to it that people see the love that drove his son to the cross. God will see to it. If we preach the way the Lord wants us to preach, he'll help us. If we don't, we're on our own. He's not going to back us up, you know, if we're not preaching the gospel. And so, I resolved to know nothing when I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Now, he was sick when he got here to Corinth, you see. I came to you in weakness and fear and much trembling. That's not rhetoric. You know, he was sick. He got off the boat. He wasn't feeling very good. He's in one of the most corrupt cities in the ancient world to preach Christ. Try it. It's not easy. I remember, I've told you this before, but then it was Easter Day, and we had had a wedding out at St. Paul's outside the walls in Rome. And then they decided to have the reception at the top of the Spanish Steps. It was a good idea. And then we began to think twice, because top of the Spanish Steps, this is Easter Day, you know, wall-to-wall tourists, and the steps all covered with guys selling trinkets. Huh? And so they're in this dining room with their sawhorses and their planks and their, you know, paper, what do you call it, tablecloth and food. Huh? And one of the boys jumps up on one of the tables, and he reads that passage from Luke. When you're having a party, just don't invite your friends. And invite the poor. Invite everybody. So they picked up all these sawhorse tables, put them out on the piazza, and invited everybody to the, you know. And, of course, the Italians are very adaptable. That was fine by them. Some of the northern Europeans were a little bit undone. What are they doing this for, you see? And so then they started to preach. Well, the foundress of the Little Sisters of the Poor. Mother.
Jean Jugan.
Hmm?
Jean
Jugan. No, yeah, that's, but no. Well, then it's a different one. I forgot the name. It's the one that they wander around, they wear long blue, and they travel with the circuses and the gypsies and. The Little Sisters of Jesus, yeah. Well, I was a close friend of Mère Madeleine. I just remembered her name. She said, you know, the problem is when I finally get somebody mature enough to do that vocation, I need him for a superior. I can't let him go. I need more hardened veterans or whatever you want to call them. Anyway, so Paul, he's getting off the boat. Resurrection? You know, sometimes he preached Anastasis, and they thought it was another goddess. You know, I mean, this is tough work. And so he's, see, in weakness and fear and much trembling, and my message and proclamation was not with persuasive words of wisdom, but with a demonstration of spirit and power. Now, you think of that letter Mary Healy sent to us. See, that's preaching. It's not just rhetoric. There's action. That's what we're praying for on that yellow sheet, right? So the Lord proves who's who. We don't have to do that. But sometimes it means taking a chance. Stepping out, you know? I came to you in weakness and fear and much trembling. And my message, he's serious. This isn't, rhetoric. He got off the boat and said, glory be to God. Lord, I am too tired. I'm so tired of getting insulted and my life threatened. I think I can take a week off, can I? And the Lord said, did I? You can't. And so a demonstration of spirit and power. That's all the healings, all the things that were in those letters, right? You see how desperate it is that we have those? That's why we pray all the time. I think I'm going to start to say that prayer every day again. I stopped. I didn't want to get everybody so tired. Oh, my gosh, here we go again, and I got to go to get to work. But I think we're going to start again, if you don't mind. We need more power than we have. It's that simple. Not with pervasive words of wisdom, but with a demonstration of spirit and power, so that your faith might rest not on human wisdom, marvelous speaker, no, but on the power of God. That's why the Lord, and you can see that he sees how desperate our situation is, trying to preach Jesus Christ and him crucified in this world today. Okay. I'll go faster on the last one, I promise. Listen to what the Lord says. You are the salt of the earth. Who, me? Yes, you. No. Let's not exaggerate, Jesus. I mean, like, there's others. No. You're just trying to get out of the job when you say that. It's not humility. It's sloth. Step up and preach. I've told you about my Aunt Mary. She would preach anywhere, anytime, and never thought she was preaching. You see, if salt loses its taste, what could it be seasoned? No longer good for anything, it'll be thrown out. You are the light of the world. Now, wait. I thought Jesus was the light of the world. Well, who lives in you? If you want to be the light of the world, just yield your whole life to Jesus. And he'll take care of all the rest. You can't hide a city if it's on top of a mountain, And if you light a lamp, you don't light one of those and then put something over it. You see what he's trying to tell us? And then it goes, just so, your light must shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your heavenly Father. Now, how do I do that? If I keep thinking, well, I better do it this way, they'll really be impressed. No. Keep your eyes on the ball. Just preach it, and Jesus will take care of the rest. But you see, it's a very beautiful Sunday, isn't it? And it's directed to us in a special way right now in the community, because we're coming alive to the need to evangelize. We have this thing that started just the other night. And people were blessed. No, they weren't blessed because everybody there was trying to act pious. They were blessed because people were trying to show them Christ. And that's the key. And so, that Spanish stuff. I was the only one among, they were all Americans, these kids from their wedding and all the rest, except the guy who got married. It was one of the nobility of Italy, and he was marrying one of the girls from California. So I started to preach. I stood up on a chair, and I started to preach in Italian because I was the only one who could. And the guys, I've told you this before, the guys selling their trinkets, they're losing money. Everybody's turned around to hear the kids sing, to hear me talk. They're not buying this stuff. And this is the big day. This is Easter day. Now, they know it's Easter, not because they all went to Mass that morning, I can promise you, but because it's time to make money. And a couple of those guys were looking at me, and I thought to myself, now I know what happened to Paul in Ephesus when they started that riot. Great is Diana of Ephesus. They really do that. You know, they didn't start any riot, but I could see in their eyes, if there was a discreet way of killing me and getting rid of me, they would have done it. But I'm standing in the middle of 1,000 people. They can't do anything. Anyway, I felt that these were calls to us today. So let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your heavenly Father. So where do you put the accent? On the person you're going to talk to or help or feed or clothe. That's where you put the accent. And if we really do that, people will see it and they'll glorify God. Oh, you go to some places, these little sisters that we were just talking about, Mother Madeline, you see, they, everywhere they go, they make people happy. Wonderful thing about them, a good number of them are German. And now they're in Israel. And they're waiting on the Jews. Some are helping in the hospitals. And what a chance to make up. You know, and I can tell you, some of those Jews, their hearts were just so melted. Others, well, at least I never saw it melt. Maybe after I left it did. So that's the end of that. I better quit. But it was such a call to us, these texts tonight. Such a call to us. Preach it. You know, make the Lord known. And don't worry about the method. Just keep your eye on the ball. Just preach Jesus.